Hello, and welcome to the podcast for all of us who love to read about the same two idiots over and over. We talk to the authors and the fans of the brilliant world of Dramione Fix and learn how they got here. It's all about what I like to call the Dramione effect. A quick disclaimer before you get into this episode, we talk about explicit rated fix on this podcast and are known to use vulgar language, discuss sex, drugs, and other possibly triggering items. So as always with fanfiction, mind your tags. You can find all the relevant info about this episode in your show notes. Now sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to the Dramione Effect. I have the lovely MKMG joining us from New Zealand. I don't even know how I tripped upon her fic, Goblet of Shadows. It was a happy thing that happened sometime last year. I was immediately intrigued by the premise of this fic. Once I got into it and I started following her on TikTok, I was also pretty entertained because she's fucking hilarious. Her videos make me laugh. They make me giggle. And I just enjoy her so much. And I'm so excited to introduce her to all of you. Just share the joy that is MKMG with everyone. So welcome.
Kia ora. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. Super excited. This is my first ever podcast. Actually, I don't think many people have been on one, but when you reached out, I was like, me? Little old me?
When you reach stardom, you have to be recognized.
I was like, holy shit, have I made it? And so I was like, I need to call my mom.
Get an agent. It's happening.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. All right. Love time it. To quit my job.
I love that so much. It is so awesome. So here on the Dramione Effect, we always start with the question. What got you into fan fiction?
Oh, okay.
I know, right?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So when I think it was back in 2020 or 2021, and we were under a lockdown, and we were under a lockdown for months and months, and I just had like a brutal breakup. I had to move places, and then as soon as I moved, like, he got a new girl within like a week, and she moved in for the lockdown. And so I was like super depressed, and I was just doom scrolling on TikTok, and I came across, or everyone was talking about Manacled and about fan fiction. I was like, oh, and I just thought I'd give it a go. And at first I was like, fan fiction, oh, I don't know, because I was a big reader when I was younger, but haven't really kind of kept up with it into adulthood. And then I just decided to give it a go. So I read Manacled. As soon as I finished that, I gobbled up Fallout. Once I finished that, gobbled up Isolation. And I just did not stop. And I just absolutely just rotted in my bed with my phone, just binging all these Dramione fics. And then from that point on, I was just hooked. And this is actually, it's not embarrassing to say, I'm just going to own it. I have not read a single like published book since I've gotten into fan fiction. I only read fan fiction.
Same.
It's like, well, why do I want to read about new characters when I can read about the same two idiots falling in love
over and over? I tried to read a regularly published novel, and I was underwhelmed. I did not enjoy, and I was like, also, why am I going to spend however much it is to get on a Kindle copy of this, like, what, $7.99 or $5.99 or something? But I mean, I have Kindle Unlimited too, but you know, some books are not on there and whatever. And now I think that my Kindle Unlimited subscription is a freaking waste of money.
Yeah.
I'm not reading anything else, just the same.
Yeah. And I mean, what I love about fan fiction is you can interact with the authors. Like, I can't just go hit up like Sarah J. Maas. I'd be like, oh my God, Queen, that was such a good quote. But in fanfic, I'm like, I could just like DM someone or comment and be like, yo, this is sick as fuck. And chances are, like, I might get a response, or they'll at least, I'm pretty confident they would have seen it. And I think that's pretty cool. Great little community.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. What a time to read Isolation. I just have to go back to that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because that is literally like the ultimate lockdown fic.
Yeah. I mean, I was so heartbroken. Like, my chest hurt all the time from like my breakup. And so reading Isolation really like healed a part of myself. But I will say, too, like, the lockdown was, I think it was like 3 or 4 months, but I was over my ex within like 2 months, and we'd been together for, two and a bit years or something. And I fully put that on the lockdown because I was forced to just sit in a room by myself and deal with my feelings. And I couldn't distract myself with anything other than fanfic, of course.
But right.
I mainly just sat there with my thoughts. So if you want to get over your ex really quickly, just barricade yourself in your room and just don't leave. That's my advice. Yeah. Hot tips from MKMJ.
You get it here first, guys. All these hot tips. So out of all of the fan fiction that you have read so far, which one would you put at the top of your list? Like, what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite? Can you really pick hard. Your children?
I think it depends on what you're feeling, oh. right? Because I think it's right. hard to compare when they can be
They're so
you know,
different.
Completely different. Yeah, so different. I will say when it comes to prose, I absolutely adore this fic called A Deeper Blue by Skitter. It's not super well known. I don't see many people talking about it, and I don't know why, because it's so beautiful. The misery flies off the page, which I love. I'm a big misery porn girl, and how she puts you, particularly in like Draco's mind and just the absolute like anguish he's in, it was fantastic. Like, I felt sick, and that is the biggest compliment ever, that I felt sick, because you know the writing's good when you hurt. So
yeah,
love
when you
that.
Take on those emotions, the character's emotions, yeah. like it transfers so well. Yeah that's
yes,
amazing.
Yeah,
so it's called A Deeper Blue.
A Deeper Blue by Skitter. Skitter, like okay. Skittle, but slightly different. I don't know what it means. Skitter, if you're listening, tell me.
Skitter, it kind of reminds me of like what a spider does.
Yeah.
So so that's your like that's your guy.
Yeah, and obviously yeah. all the well known god tier ones.
No,
I mean they're god tier for a reason.
For a reason, yeah.
And then there's quite a few whips out there. Oh, I just finished a whip. Well, not finished a whip, but
caught up.
Yeah, caught up with a whip. God, how do I check my AO3 account? But I was like, it was just like a lovely little almost. It was like forced marriage, but like with a twist. Oh my god, surely I can find it. Okay, it was, oh god, do I want to see my history? Lust and Other Mistakes by Bionic Lee, and then it says Lust and Other Mistakes. It was okay. Last updated 3rd of Jan, and it's got three more chapters to go until it's finished. But I was like, what a lovely little fic. It was very unique premise. So that's one of the ones I read lately where I was like, okay. Fabulous.
We like this world.
Yes.
I like this little world. It's grand. Speaking of, like, do you have that, the marriage, is it marriage law in that one?
It's kind of, it's marriage law with a twist.
Like, okay. All right.
Wait, I'll read the description.
Okay.
It was supposed to be a strictly professional relationship. At the behest of the ministry, work with Malfoy, rehabilitate him, and reintegrate him back into wizarding society. Live with him for 18 months, then send him on his merry way. So why now that it was all over, was she having such a hard time shaking free of him? So basically, and this isn't a spoiler, but part of like the binding process where that she's like, because she's like his handler and she's bound to like the prisoner's bound to her, it's basically like a marriage. Like, they kind of used binding marriage magic to bind them together, and so all sorts of fuckery takes place, and I love a bit of fuckery. Nothing better than fucking around and finding out.
Gosh, yes, we love the marriage law. We like magical marriage, accidental marriage. There's so many good fics that come out of that tag. Are there any tags that you look for? Like, specifically, do you like search by tags, or do you just like go in blind? You just raw dog a fic?
Sometimes I don't mind a bit of raw dogging, but
you're like, let's see what this, speaking of fuck around and find out.
Yeah, sometimes it depends. Yeah, it depends on my mood. Like, other times I'm like, you know, I'll look for like explicit sexual content, and then I'm like, okay, smart, blah, 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 oral, but I'll like go at it because, you know, sometimes I'm like, I want something fucking filthy. That's what I want to read. And then other times, my usual is I'm like, angst, hurt and comfort, dark, trauma, broken, like all like,
yeah.
I was like, you know.
Mutual pining, pain.
So there's only two options. Either I want to feel aroused, or I want to be absolutely devastated. And there's no in between. And sometimes you can find a fic,
right?
If you're lucky. And it's both. You're like, I'm horrified, but I'm aroused. And that's when you know you've found a bloody winner.
There's, I can't think of one of off the top of my head, but yeah, there's, oh, have you read Timeless?
Yeah.
That one made me cry. And I was like, oh, there's some good shit happening in here.
Timeless was like, that was very much like angsty.
Oh God. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Full on.
And so well done. I was like,
she had a Sherlock board for that thing.
Yeah. The amount of planning
so
that went in.
Intricate.
I was like, fuck.
Yeah. That's the one that comes to like top of mind when you talk about something that's like, I want to be aroused, but I also want to be like horribly devastated. I cried so fucking hard at that fic.
Yeah. Especially at the end. I was like, okay, I don't see how he's going to live. I was surely he's going to live. Right.
Right.
And I just
couldn't. Right. I kept being like, she's not going to kill him. Is she really going to let him die?
I was like, surely is it magic to come back to life? I was like, no, there's not. And I was just like, oh God, I don't know how it's going to work. But I am so
reverse
glad.
Reverse Avada Kedavra. Reverse.
Yeah. I was like, undo. But no, beautiful, beautiful folk. Absolutely adored that one.
Mm. So transitioning into your writing, coming from reading all of this, had you ever written anything before?
No. No, I did English in high school. And
yeah,
learned to write.
Like a bit of creative writing with a prompt.
Yeah, like in class because I had to. Or I might do the odd poem in my spare time. And by odd poem, I mean like two poems over a 9-year period.
Seriously, the odd.
Basically, yeah, I'm a poet. I wrote two poems in the past 9 years. Thank you.
Thank you. My book of published works will be out.
Yes,
soon.
Exactly. But I've always been, well, people have told me I've been not bad at it. Not amazing, but like not shit. So I was like, oh yeah, sick. And I do, like I did a lot of public speaking and charity work and like writing speeches and stuff and articles for certain issues that I was very passionate about.
Right.
Basically, it got to a point where I was pretty close. I'd ran out of fics to read. Like I have read so many Dramani fics, like hundreds.
Yeah.
There was a type of fic that I really wanted to read. And I was like, I want it really plot heavy. I wanted a mind fuck. I wanted to just not know which way is up, down, left, right. I wanted something really dark. And I don't know how it kind of happened, but I had the idea of this is well before Snakes and Songbirds, the film came out. This was, when the book was still riding off that hype and the idea kind of came to me of like a Hunger Games kind of inspired fic with the Tribe as a Tournament. And I hadn't read Let the Dark In by Sen Lanyu yet, but I saw like the buzz around it and the word Tribe as a Tournament was like thrown out
a lot.
Yeah,
I still haven't read that one either.
Yeah, it's excellent. In my brain, I was thinking Hunger Games, Hunger Games, Hunger Games. And then I saw the discussions around the Tribe as a Tournament and I was like, what if we like smash the two together? And that's kind of where I came up with it. And I was like, okay, what's the most horrific thing you can imagine someone going through? And I was like, perfect, I will write that.
And then you fucking did.
Yeah. So I told my sister about my idea and she was like, oh my gosh, that would be so good. I was thinking maybe I can find a fanfic writer to write this, or like I could pay someone. I was like,
I just really want this. Yeah,
I want this. I don't think I can do it. And I was telling my sister about it. And then as I was telling her, there were more details flying in my head. And then I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm just gonna write it. I'll just give it a go. Let's try. So I'd sit in my room because I've written the entire fic on Google Docs on my phone, like only on my phone. And it's not like, you know, I get up and I put headphones on and I have a cup of tea and I'm like ready to go. It's like, I am curled up in bed at like 3 p.m. on my phone, just like texting. And that's how I write my fic, which is shocking, not good practice.
I'm fully impressed.
And so I just started writing and it was a bit of editing and I had to Google, where do I put those little quotation marks? I was like, where do they go? Do I put a comma before or after? And a few other things.
Yeah, well, I've learned over time that like a good beta, you know, a good beta reader, somebody that can just go through and like just do your grammar, your context, and like that's worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
So you don't have to even like worry about it when you're going through and actually writing, like, you know, fuck the grammar.
I mean, I just wrote to my sister. I really trust her. My sister, I love you. She's not the best beta because I'm always like, how was it? She's like,
it's fucking great.
And I was like, okay, but any, it's just like, no, this is fine. Okay, well, I'm going to put it in Grammarly just in case. But I also have another
Red,
friend who
red, red. No.
Yeah. I also have another friend who I send it to, and she's Stella, and she is super supportive, and she picks out my grammar. But yeah, as I'm writing, and I keep running into my flatmate's room and being like, oh, what about this? And then I'd sit there and yap to her, and then I'd be like, okay. And then I'd run back into my room and start typing. So the first, I think, four chapters took such a long time to write, but by the time I had written those first four, basically the whole fic was fully fleshed and planned out.
Well, the first four are some traumatic yes. fucking chapters.
Yes, it's so interesting because when you're writing it, it's not like as bad because obviously I know what's coming and I'm trying to build things in. But then when it took a break from it and went back and read it, I was like, oh, holy fucking shit, I need to go to therapy. But yeah,
you put her through it.
Yeah, put her through the ringer. I didn't want to romanticize pain. Right. And I see that a lot with a lot of, you know, traditional books and sometimes in fanfic, but sometimes people try to make it out like there's beauty in suffering. And that is just absolutely not the case.
Mm-mm.
It's ugly and violent, and you know, and that's why I really kind of highlighted the fact that she stopped like washing herself, she stopped bathing, because that is something that historically women have done in times of war to protect themselves. And it's a really disturbing concept, and it's also very like, it's not pretty, right? Like that you can't make that beautiful, you can't make that romantic. And so I really wanted her to almost just like shut down all traces of her, I guess, like humanity,
right,
or the societal roles placed on humans, and just really kind of embrace it, like animalistic drive to survive, because that's the reality, that's what happens to people in those kinds of situations. So that was a big part of it, and then her slowly kind of losing it as well. I mean, there's only so much that a person can take, but she is, I mean, for the most part, she is doing everything right in terms of she's coping the best she can with what she has,
which in the beginning is literally nothing.
Literally nothing.
She's coping with nothing.
I mean, she managed to build herself a routine, which was very important. She managed to plan out everything and go over everything in her head of like what she thought she knew about the prison and how she might, you know, escape or anything that could happen. She literally did every single thing that she could have, and she still, you know, she still suffered. And that's life sometimes. You can do, you can try and sometimes it's just like you just keep getting kicked in the teeth. So anyway, she'll get her revenge.
There's moments in the beginning where she is able to assert some part of her former self or some part of the desire to be human again, or she's trying to exert control over her situation in certain part. And I am interested with the apples. The apples always...
I mean, apples are very symbolic anyway, as in not just in the sphic, I mean, in canon, they were symbolic, but then also it's very symbolic. Newton with gravity, how the apple fell on his head. We got Adam and Eve with the apple. Like there's, originally I was actually thinking of a pomegranate because of the whole Greek mythology around but then I decided the direction I was going, an apple would be a better fit. Because then there's like Snow White and stuff as well, so there's
there's also, you know, the connection with Draco.
So there's a lot of different themes, and that's kind of how I write. So if there's a symbol of something, it usually means, you know, various different things. It's not just one layer, there's always like seven or eight layers.
In my mind, as I'm reading that, I'm like, please let it be Draco that's giving her the apples. But I'm like, you're an evil genius, so it's probably I'm not saying, hey, give me a spoiler. I'm just putting it out there that's the narrative that's going in my brain.
I cannot answer that question. But I mean, a lot of people, because Red and Green, is also a big part. Yes. Christmas, hashtag Christmas. But I like the red and green symbolism as well, because that's, I mean, there's Slytherin, Gryffindor, red
Stop,
and green.
Go, warning, clear.
Yes, exactly. There's so many different things. Sure, you've picked up on this, or maybe you didn't. Maybe I need to like actually explain more in my writing. But the last, there's a lot of parallels between the first, like earliest chapters, and then the last batch of chapters that I published. And particularly a lot of parallels between Harry and Susan in terms of, I guess, that first kind of real deep trauma Hermione had, or that deep loss, was when Harry died. And she froze, because, you know, there's fight, flight, and freeze. Mm-hmm. And she froze. And she was just lost and fixated on his, like, vacant green eyes and his almost severed head, I guess, was the first kind of sign of the red and green and her fixation on it. And then in parallel with Susan, you know, she's wearing a green dress, and she's also has a bloody neck. And it's just, yeah, that parallel. And, you know, Susan died in the Forbidden Forest, and that's where Harry died as well. So it was like, after everything that was happened, and everything Hermione had done to survive, she still lost the person closest to her emotionally. Yeah. And she still ended up in the exact same role, except this time she did freeze, but she froze everything around her.
Right.
And she absolutely went feral, which we love. So
right.
lot of like symbolism and growth and all the good stuff my English teacher taught me, you know, like the curtains were blue because she's sad. Like, no, the curtains are just blue. Nothing is just everything has meaning. There is nothing that does not mean something or tie with something. There's no mistakes. Let's talk about Daryl. Oh, Daryl. My
boyfriend.
Bestie.
Let's talk about our boyfriend, the internet's boyfriend, okay. Daryl the Dementor.
Yes. I was not expecting that, but how did I come up with Daryl? I was literally,
because we love Daryl.
I was like unexpectedly,
I am in love with the Dementor. How did this fucking happen?
I was shocked by how much people loved him. Like, I was like, he was in like two chapters, guys, but no, he was just absolutely flew off the head.
But
I think you took something
that in canon is historically terrible, and you humanized it in a way that people were like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I love doing the what the fuck thing, because some things are so obvious, but also it's just like, what the fuck? Like, for example, Voldemort, like, basically cutting off Harry's head, like, duh. Why would he do a killing curse again? Like, he tried that ages ago. Yeah. Why would he do it again?
We've been there, done,
like,
that.
At least if he cuts off his head, like, you can't come back from that. There's no magic that can put your head back on your body. Like, that was, you know. And then Dementors, it's like, I mean, you don't really know much about it. No one's actually sat there and had a chat with them or actually hung out with them.
No.
You know, you don't know that. Same with Boggarts. We never knew what, like, the true form of a Boggart was. So
yeah,
was
because
so
it's always,
like,
up to interpretation by the person seeing it. It's always, exactly, you know, whatever image that they conjure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was also, it was just hilarious. In my mind, I think it's so funny the fact that, you know, they pull Hermione out and they're like, you can survive and go free if you do the task, blah, blah. And she's like, no, thank you. I don't want to. I would rather die. Sorry. Yeah, I'm not even going to try.
Just kill me. I'm not even going to try. Yeah.
I'm just going to kill myself and kill you and just, you know, fuck off. Like, she just wasn't having a bar of it. So yeah, back to Daryl. Daryl is, how did I come up with him? I was literally just writing, and because originally I was going to have her.
Did he just show up? Like, he just showed up.
He just kind of, like, okay, I'm going to be
LinkedIn.
To be honest, I was sitting on the bloody toilet because I'm lactose intolerant, right? And I love cheese. So I just like to hurt myself. Writing. Some of my best work is done on the toilet. And I was like, oh man, like, this is, you know, rough. I wish I had someone to hold my hand through this. And then I was like, oh, because I was writing about the prison and the Dementors and stuff. I was like, imagine holding hands with a Dementor. And then that's kind of what spiraled from there. And he just wrote himself. Like, I wrote Daryl very quickly, and there wasn't a heck of planning into Daryl. And then I was like, okay, what's the stupidest fucking name that I can give to a Dementor? Like, what's the dumbest shit Hermione could come up with?
Right.
And I was like, okay. And Daryl. Like, Daryl is like, no offense
Didn't
to
she get it off of a mug or something? There was like a something he brought her.
Close. That's okay. A good link that you just pulled. But it was Daryl's Donuts, like a little box called Daryl's Donuts. And then coincidentally, in my other fic, the third floor corridor, Hagrid passes Draco a mug. And in my complete other fic, it was just like a little tee-hee, like a little link between the two, but not really. He passes him a mug that says Daryl's Donuts.
So,
Daryl's Donuts is in the Harry Potter realm in my mind. We don't know who the OG Daryl was. Obviously, he's a muggle and he likes donuts.
Enough to start a business.
But yeah, Hermione just saw the packaging. She's like, okay, Daryl's Donuts. Daryl it is. So she gave him a name. She gave him a gender identity and a sexuality, which was like absolutely presumptuous of her to do so. But hey.
But you know what? I mean, so far, he's literally the only male gender identity to not hurt her in some way.
Exactly.
So he is he's an ally.
He's an icon. And like the fact he's like 3 meters, because Dementors are three meters tall. Like they are massive. And
that's what's so funny about like visualizing him sitting on the floor of her playing chess with a bunch of fucked up tchotchkes. Like just
he's kind of floating.
Like I can just see
and like giving her a ring, like she's waking up and there's this fucking creature of death.
But you can
visualize
like this bony ass hand, just reaching in and the fact that
she like loves cuddling him and she's like, yeah, he's freezing and like I get frostbite, but
I don't care.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love Daryl
because he's safe.
He's very safe. He is.
But and later on. Like
well,
when
not
she's...
for anyone else.
No. But later on, when she's actually in the tournament and they tell her that there are no Dementors at Azkaban and that fully fucks up her whole entire brain because she's like, wait, what? What do you mean?
And absolutely.
So what's Daryl? Where was he? Who was he? What is he from?
Yeah, and that absolutely wrecks her because... You know,
she can't trust her own mind or her memory.
No, and she's been told she's, you know, like a natural and that she can have the power to rewrite her own brain. And for the most part, like, she sort of believes it, but I think she doesn't understand. She doesn't really understand it. You know, these things just keep coming out and all the evidence is pointing to that. And she has a completely different perspective. And she's like, am I crazy or is everyone wrong?
Well, there's so many gaps that she just can't.
Yeah, and it fucks up the readers as well because like either option could be right. Or
right.
There could be a third option you haven't even
thought about. Yeah.
I've intentionally left it so it's actually not clear either way. So you don't you're not gonna figure it out yet.
I want her to end up with Daryl at the end, please. Like no, this is a Dermione now, not a drum.
Daryl.
We are now into Dementor porn.
Basically. I mean, my Discord server is called Daryl Stans. It's not called Goblet or Shadows. It's not anything. It's just Daryl. It's always Daryl Stans.
We love some Daryl.
There will be more Daryl. I mean, there's Daryl is.
He's not gone. Gone, but not forgotten.
He's not gone. He's just he's floating around. He's
literally he's floating around, waiting for some souls.
He's keeping an eye on things.
The other relationship that I found super interesting that you did in a different way was the Astoria storyline with her being like Voldemort's consort.
And
because it makes a lot of fucking sense.
Yeah.
Like when you look at it from how you wrote it, I'm like, oh yeah, I can totally see it. And how she plays it.
I think there's a lot of power that women can wield. You know, Astoria is a pretty girl. She's charming. And she knows that after her parents die, she knows that she has to serve the Dark Lord, but that she won't survive if she serves it the way that she
everyone else is serving it in a way that is
and she's very manipulative in the sense that what because Voldemort was never like an evil genius. He was always like he's very
like,
showy
just a man like
he's just a man. Whilst he doesn't have the capacity for love.
Ego. It's ego stroking.
Exactly. And so she plays him like a fucking fiddle. And she trains him over time to want her approval and to want her reverence. So Astoria's clever in terms of she's obviously got the Dark Lord like wrapped around her finger as much as someone could wrap the Dark Lord around her finger. And with that comes a lot of power. I'd say arguably she has more power than Draco or any of the top ranking Death Eaters, because she's the one that can sway things. She doesn't obey orders. She can create her own.
Right. Well, like when she walks away, when everybody else has to watch, and she literally gets up and leaves the room.
And she can do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And her,
even though she has a tribute in the games, like even though her ass is on the line too, she's like, I can't handle this, so I'm going to get up and leave. Yeah.
So she can do that, and she can ask for the house elf, Winky. She's like, yes. I want Winky. She's clever. And there'll be a lot more, I guess, fleshed out around Astoria's relationship with the Dark Lord and the other Slytherins. And I think Astoria's in a pretty, like, she's an interesting character. And I love the idea of, obviously it's mostly about Hermione, but having three different POVs. So Hermione, Ginny, and Astoria. It really covers a mix. We got Ginny, who's been with the Order. She's been fighting so hard for so long.
She is in a fucked up situation. I mean, like,
yeah.
Not that any of them are in, you know, sunshine and roses. But
and then exactly. And then Astoria's on the other side. She's with the Dark Lord, and she's been in that world for, you know, a number of years. And then we just got Hermione, who's like, just
checked
she's
out.
She's been chilling. Yeah, she's like, I'm just here for the ride. I'm trying to get off. Let me off. And so I think it's a good balance. Plus, with those POVs, you know, Astoria can watch everything as it plays out in the tasks, which is good. I mean, she can tell us what Neville also,
yeah she has insider she to. Has insider information from the other point,
yeah, and it makes sense, and it's good for I think the readers, because they get a full scope of what all the characters are doing, because either they're seeing it through Ginny's eyes or Hermione's eyes or Astoria's. And then that way I don't have to write like a shit ton of POVs, because I want to cover something that Hermione and Ginny aren't there for. So
she's another character that has people have given her like the Theo Knot treatment. She wasn't really, I mean, she was a side note in the books, just like Theo was, like maybe a couple of mentions, like, you know, obviously in the epilogue, you know, we know that in canon, her and Draco end up together. In as far as fan fiction, she has really taken on the ability to be that necessary care. I need another POV from a female that I want to write as how I want to write it. I don't have to like think about a canon
set. Yeah, and I see a lot of Pansy in fanfic. Pansy's character is awesome. There's so many different versions of Pansy, but I found with Astoria, it was very like, was either she was, you know, very sick, tragically died in childbirth, or she was like evil and trying to split Hermione and Draco up, or she was just like the sad little thing that floated around and was like way too nice. And I really wanted to give her some depth,
edge,
and some sass, and really kind of build her up.
The interesting thing is that she's in basically an emotional love triangle, because she's technically betrothed. She's technically engaged to Draco.
Yes,
right?
She is.
Yeah. So she's technically engaged to Draco, but there's no like big relationship there. They tolerate each other.
Well, they're like friends, but for the most part,
there's no romantic like survival interest relationship is with Voldemort.
Yeah, and she talks a lot about how she thinks at one point that could have happened with Draco, but he lost his color, as I say, or like his emotions over the years, and she called it like the, you know, the death of Draco Malfoy. I think with that, what I wanted to say is, as there's no, in real life, there's not always, you know, that one person who you're bound to, or, you know, it was always, fate's going to play a part. I'm very much in the belief that we all write our own fate. And so with, I guess, Draco and Astoria, I mean, that was kind of, I guess, thrown out the window very early on, because yes, she admits that potential could have been there, but that's all it was, potential. Mm-hmm. Potential isn't enough to build a relationship. And obviously Astoria developed feelings for Theo, and
but they're still technically betrothed, like they're still in agreement over there, so like she is bound by something. It's just not an emotional relationship.
Exactly. But Voldemort keeps putting off the wedding.
Oh yeah,
because he's a creepy little fuck thirsting after a young lady. But yeah, Astoria, just to be clear, Astoria, people listening, Astoria's not like, she's not banging the Dark Lord. That's fucking, that's gross.
No.
But he wants it.
And
she knows it, and she's like, you know, anyway, very, very clever. She's using pussy power.
Good job. Good job, Astoria. Nice work, Miss Greengrass. So one of the things that really sets Goblet of Shadows apart from other Dramione in my mind is honestly the lack of smut so far. Like I've read it. I'm not saying I want it. Like, we know it is eventually, but there is a wholly different story developing, unless it's a very slow burn where there's like this emotional back and forth, which most of the time Hermione and Draco are not even in the same scenes. It's very like here's one, and it's like here's another, small tiny interactions.
Very slow burn. And I think I mean, that makes sense, right? After everything she's gone through.
She
hates men.
Yes, very fucking rightly so.
Yeah, and you know, the slow burn was burning. All right, it started off and he's like, I'm gonna fucking ruin you. Like, he's like, how dare you pick me? I fucking hate you. And then at the end, he's like, hey, I'm sorry about Susan. And he says it very, like, kind of blasé, like he doesn't really give a shit. But, like, that in itself is a...
As far as the chapters that are released, like, at the very end of the last one, she fails the mission and he uses his in. Like, he uses his...
He uses his one free pass. Well, she doesn't fail. She's, like, intentionally just not...
No, I know. Like, is she...
Not playing ball. She's like, all right, time to lose.
Yeah, it's fuck like you guys. I'm going home. Let me die. Yeah, like, somebody come chop my head off.
Exactly.
It's like I've already tried to take myself out of the game several fucking times, and somehow I'm still here. Like,
no, she's like, let me die. Just let me go. And I think it's so funny because when I was a kid, I always got really scared during dodgeball because, you know, balls fly really fast,
right?
So I'd intentionally like try to get hit as soon as possible so I could leave. And I feel like that's money.
Okay, good.
I like turn my back on them. I was like, oh my god, don't hit my head, just hit my back. And then I get hit and I'm like, oh my god, I'm out, because I'm an athlete, obviously.
You're so athletic.
Thank you. Hermione's not like that though. She's not doing it unfair. She's just like, I don't want to play.
No.
I don't want to be here.
No, she's exhausted. She's fucking exhausted. Because there's no break for her. She gets no breaks.
Yeah, like, I mean, the closest to peace she had was literally starving to death
sitting with Daryl
and Azkaban was like her safe place. It was her pocket of peace, which is insane. But yeah, so there is very slow developments between Draco and Hermione, and I love how frustrated he is with her because like she's just not fucking trying. Like, she just does not care, and she keeps doing the most batshit things, like eating boggarts, or you know, it goes into her mind, she's got no memories, it's just bloody empty, and he's like
blank,
and she's speaking Gaelic and she's doing all this kooky shit, like torturing herself for 5 straight minutes.
Yes.
Just to prove a
point.
Yeah,
just putting her hand on the crucio thing.
She's like, watch this.
Well, because she's been crucioed like for years.
So many times.
Like,
yeah,
no, she's nonstop. Like, she's like, I'm going to do it just to feel something. Like,
yeah, she's like, oh man, like free torture. Like, I haven't felt pain in ages. Time to, you know, she's very disturbed, and he's kind of at a loss because, like, how do you control someone for him? Like, he can't control her with fear. Mm-mm. He can't control her through legitimacy.
Because there's nothing there.
Yeah, he goes in.
It's literally a box of rocks.
Yeah, he's like, okay, there's just a door and some grass and some ice, and that's fucking it. And then when he did look, he's not even her fucking memories. He's like, who are these?
No,
kids?
It's all the shit that Daryl implanted in there. All these people from like 100 years ago.
Yeah, and he's like, why are you speaking Gaelic? Like, you're not.
Why are there
Irish.
Kids in a river? What the fuck?
He's like, who are these kids? And so it's just, he's so frustrated. But I love that because it means that there's only one way that he can get Hermione on his side, or try to get her to want to live so he could live.
It's the Daryl approach.
He's got to be nice to her.
The Daryl
approach.
He's got
to be nice. Yeah. He's got to build her trust. And so
give her a little... Give her a little tchotchke, literally.
Yeah, and I will say, I know people are like, when's the slow burn gonna start burning? I'm like, excuse me, their thighs touched in the carriage. Their thighs touched, actually. And
what more do you fucking want?
Hermione thought his thigh was warm. boom. What was that then? That was straight porn right there. I was like, wow.
You guys, what we do you need mean? To slow it down. This is going to get an explicit rating like real quick.
And that was at like, I think that was at like chapter 13 yeah. something. And yeah. I was like, well, okay, reel it back. Reel it back. But I think the fact that she talks about how familiar his hands are becoming, because he's always bloody grabbing her and dragging mm-hmm. her places, you know, she gets really overwhelmed when other men talk or approach her. So like Theo mm-hmm. or Ron, people that
yeah she ain't having
should
it.
Be people who should be a lot safer than Draco. But Draco, he's the one man that she's had the most interaction with in years, other than Daryl. But yeah. you know, Daryl, we don't know what his true gender is. It's whatever. It's no one knows. You know, no one's open.
It's
ever changing.
It's a spectrum. Daryl exists exactly. on a spectrum.
Exactly. Hermione is, and she said it. You know, she is a creature of routine, and she likes to know things. She hates not knowing things. She hates not being in control. When things are a routine and they become familiar, they become more predictable, it's easier to control. And I think that's kind of the relationship forming with her and Draco, which is enough for mm-hmm. now.
Oh god, yeah.
In terms of she doesn't trust him, but she doesn't flinch when he grabs her hand or mm-hmm. her arm or her shoulder, like, because yeah. she
if he takes her somewhere can read him not, yeah
she's not
moving her from place
in her
to
boots.
Place She'll go with him. She's not going to like...
Yeah. And it's not that she trusts him, but no. she's just, I guess, she knows him just enough to mm-hmm. kind of get by, which I think is good.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great progress for her after what she's been through. I think that's bloody yeah. good work.
Yeah. Nice fucking work, Hermione, because yikes. Yikes.
Yeah.
I remember like the first time that I read it. Honestly, you know, you spell it out in the beginning of it like, hey, the first three chapters of this fucker, listen,
it's
I'm just
really
going to tell
guys.
You right now. It's really dark. Okay. And I was like, okay, read it. I was like, holy fuck, she wasn't kidding.
Yeah. And I had so many people like, guys, it's dark, dark. And I'm like, yeah, I said that.
I fucking told
you. Did you not read the tags? Like, it's all there. And some people got like, kind of, I guess, sometimes some people are like, are you okay? And I'm like, obviously not. Did you see what I wrote? Obviously I'm not okay. Thank God I'm not. Because if I was,
right,
you wouldn't get this. All right.
No, absolutely not. No.
I was like,
you would have a fluffy rom-com if I was chilling.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I need to just put
on like,
therapy.
I'm writing
this.
I'm writing this for a fucking purpose, because this is what I wanted to read and I couldn't find it anywhere. And this is like, this is the shit that's coming out. So
yeah.
You know what? If you don't want to read it, that's fine. It's not going to hurt my feelings. There are plenty of other people.
Exactly.
Behind you, so get out of line, give up your spot.
Yeah. I don't mind if people, like, everyone has their own interests, but I think I don't mind when people are like, oh, you know, that doesn't look like it's for me. But when people who don't like really horrific dark shit, and then they read it and they're like, oh, it was really horrific and dark, it's like, yes it was. What do you mean?
And it's about to get worse, so fucking
and
strap
it's
in
get- so much worse for everyone involved. Like, as like
we haven't even fucking we haven't even scratched the surface of fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay,
I was like, the Hunger Games in itself is so
Dude.
Fucked up. The Triwizard Tournament in itself was so fucked up, and I put the two together. Like, it's not nice. It's not fun.
No.
Anyway, so that was good.
Oh my god.
But yeah, I also see a lot of comments of people hating, like, they hate Ginny. And I think people
Ginny's a product of her environment. What do you
exactly.
expect?
Exactly. And I think people are missing the mark. Like, yes, we know all about Hermione. We know everything she's gone through. And
but you don't know everything that happened to Ginny. And now she's in charge of people.
Yeah. And I think with Ginny, she's a mother. All she cares about is getting her child to survive. That's not to say she doesn't have a heart. But at the end of the day, whatever Hermione's gone through does not matter for Ginny.
No.
If Hermione is a threat to the survival of her child, mm-hmm. Hermione's got to go. Everyone has to go. Ginny lost so much. And the whole reason she'd fought in the war for like the last 5 years was because Ron stayed behind. So her parents stayed behind. And Ron stayed behind because he wanted to find Hermione. So mm-hmm. her whole past 5 years, she's been in a living hell. And right. that started, and whilst it's not Hermione's fault, but it did start because of Hermione and this
right.
and the chase that Ron's been having. Like she lost, you know, she lost Percy to it. She lost a lot of people, and it got so bad. She obviously, she doesn't trust her.
No.
Well,
she's been, sorry, I mean.
Put my pants up.
She's been, Hermione's been out of the way for so long. Not there, not tangible, not fighting, not like, she just thinks, oh, you just left and you've been over here. So you've been just completely gone for all of these years. Hermione's... And Ginny's been in this, in living what her thing is, in this constant battle. Still fighting, still doing whatever it is, still living in that same emotional turmoil over those whole years while Hermione, not that Hermione's thing was any less terrible. It's just unknown. I don't know what happened to her. She's just gone. And obviously she can't get inside Hermione's head because Hermione's fucking just not talking to her.
Yes, exactly. And I think Ginny, at the end of the day, Ginny doesn't have time to worry about Hermione. Everyone's been worrying about Hermione for so long, her whole family. And she needs to look after her kid. Like, she has a responsibility to one person and one person only, and that is Teddy. And everyone else can suck a dick as far as she's concerned. And you know what? That's fair, because if you're... Okay, let's be honest. Like, if you're a mother, who are you going to put first? Your child or...
Your old best friend.
Your brother's best friend.
Yeah.
Like, come on, guys. And again... As a Ginny is a kind person. Ginny is a good person. Ginny sacrificed a lot, and she's fought so hard, and she's so tired.
Yeah.
And it's kind of down to the wire now. She doesn't want to lose anyone. She doesn't want anyone to die.
Right.
But like, she's backed into a corner, and she only has in her mind one option, and that option is to save her son. Which of course now she's gonna
stuck
do.
With well, and now she's stuck with fucking Greyback.
I know.
Which is,
I'm so excited for you guys to read the next bits of chapters, because there's a lot.
There was a last chapter, I there was a weird dynamic change between them.
Him petting her hair.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I
was
like,
this is gonna go differently.
It's not gonna go that way. That's
I'm just saying, like,
old.
like I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, that is a different... Normally, that he didn't have that reaction to her.
Yeah, well, I'm humanizing him.
Yeah,
because I want to put layers in every character, not just the main ones.
Yeah,
but Greyback, I mean, he's one of Voldemort's best. He's been on the dark side for years, and yet he is still on the fringes because he is a creature, and the Dark Lord and the other Death Eaters hate them. They think they're dirt. And so he's the Scion. He's of high standing, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
I think for him, there's a level of
if he makes
anxiety
it
that...
Well, what happens if Ginny wins?
Yeah, exactly. He's obviously, he's part of them, but not really. And he's a beast. He's a werewolf, you know, likes to file his teeth and sharpen his nails. And then he's forced to be at these like dinners and events and being judged by everyone around him, and at any moment the Dark Lord can just make an example of him, just kill him off. So he's really got to work 10 times harder to prove his worth, which is ironic because that's kind of like Hermione being muggle-born, how she had to prove herself, felt like she had to prove herself in Hogwarts growing up. And it's kind of the same for Greyback. And so it's kind of that sense, I think Greyback and Ginny do have a bit in common in the terms where Ginny feels like she has to work 10 times as hard and it's not enough, because that's what she's been doing. She's been trying to survive, and she's so tired. And there's a lot of parallels between her situation and Greyback. So yeah, excited for you guys to read about how all that's going to unfold. I will say with this fic, everything you think you know, you're probably wrong. You're wrong.
You're wrong.
I think I've seen maybe one or two that were actually
correct.
Everyone's wrong.
I keep my theories to myself.
Yeah, and you're supposed to be wrong. Well, not wrong, but like, I think some of them are genius. Like, some of the ones
you're like,
that
oh shit, like, I wish I would have thought of that.
I was like, that's actually a good idea, but it doesn't quite fit. But I was like, oh, that's like, some of them are so clever. And I was like, you should go write a
book.
But it's a lot of twists and turns. There's a lot of I want your head to hurt and your heart to hurt And maybe your tummy as well.
Oh man, I can't wait.
So it should be May, probably.
May. So we have what's the chapter plan? I didn't look. What a bad host.
Oh no, you're fine. So I don't publish by chapter. I just publish in batches. So I bought it's a chapter dump. Like I'm taking a dump.
Okay, so well, you know, you are lactose intolerant.
Yeah, exactly. So it's every 3 to 4 months.
We've got 36 chapters already posted, which is a healthy chunk of fic. But our final chapter count is at a question mark, which I mean, I love that.
It's probably be like because, 90.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I will say that the 36 chapters, I mean, it's already at the length of a standard fic. Right. So yeah. I think it's like 120,000 words.
144,634.
Is it 140? Shit.
144. Oh, look at you.
Shit. Wow. I'm amazing. That's a lot of words.
It is a lot of words for sure.
Gosh. So yeah, we've just finished Act One. So I mean, Act One is in itself could be its own bloody book, I guess. Right. But yeah, I was predicting like 90 chapters. God, 144,000 words. That's quite a few words.
So you're going to be in like the 300K plus.
Yeah, she's going to be mammoth. And I always.
Yeah. Because if you got 30 and you're already at 144.
Oh, yeah. So. She's going to be really chunky, eh?
Yeah. She a big girl.
Yeah, she's a chunky monkey. But that's all right. We like
might have to split it.
No. it can just be like, you just read.
Well, no. I mean, like, what's dead a time? Like 700,000?
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm fine. Okay. And you know, there's no rules in fanfic.
No, I can make fuck no. Rules. You can do whatever the hell you want.
I know. And I said, you know, 80 to 90 chapters, you know, they could be wrong. I can change that. I can break my
just
own
don't quit.
Bloody rules.
Just don't stop.
Well, I won't. But if I die, then it's like, fuck.
Well,
right?
I mean, have a fail safe or something where you.
I do. I do have a fail safe. I'm like, okay, if I die, like
please somebody.
My flatmates, you know, and there's a lot of different Google Docs and notebooks that are all. My sister can piece it all together if I die. She'll figure it out.
Let's not go there. Come on.
Life's pretty unexpected, but yeah, for the most part, I'm very determined to finish it because.
Well, it's a fucking masterpiece.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, but. Yeah. It's,
hush, take it. Take it.
I'll take out the ass. All right.
Take it like a good girl.
I really want to finish it. I think for me, it's become a lot more than what I thought it was. Like, genuinely, I did not think anyone would even come across it until I was at like chapter 15. When I first posted, I think, the first chapter, someone gave me a kudos and I was like, what? And that was in the first 20 minutes I got a kudos. And then I also got like one comment and I lost my mind. I was like, no way. No, who the hell is like scrolling through AO3 and reading something that only has like one chapter and it's got no hits or anything? And anyway, that person, love you to the moon and back. I think I did a Tumblr post when I got it of like Dumbledore dancing.
Yeah,
with like disco lights. I was like, oh yeah, kudos. So that was,
and they
very,
probably were like, that was the darkest shit I've ever known.
They were like, what the fuck is this?
But they still were like, kudos, here you go, we loved it.
No, but even now, like, I read every comment over and over and over again. Like, I am watching, I am a stalker, I am looking at your comments on Reddit and your Twitter posts, I'm looking at the Facebook groups. Like, if you've said something about my fit, good or bad, I found it. I've read it.
We love it. We love it.
And like sometimes I don't even try to hide it. Like I'll just like the comment. I'm like, right. I don't.
No.
You know. And then, you know, when people leave kudos, like I scroll through the list of names and I'm like, that's a funny username. I was like, oh, that's a good one.
That's
and
funny
like,
I do
through.
That on I do that on TikTok. Like if somebody follows me and I love their username, I'm like, that is, I love them.
Yeah,
they're great.
Yeah, I know on TikTok it shows people that you viewed their profile, but I don't care.
Right,
I'm stalking you. I'm proud. I'm gonna stalk you.
That's how I think that's how I found you. I was like, I want to stalk this bitch. I love it.
Yeah, so much fun. I think on Twitter I follow like all these Germani authors, but I also just follow this random chick because she was like the first and maybe only person to tweet about my fic. So it was a different language. So I don't know what she
but
said.
But it showed up.
But I was like, hey, that's me. And so I just like followed her. I was like, hope it was good. Hope it was positive.
You should put it into Google Translate and check it out.
Yeah. Edith, if you're listening. I follow you,
Edith,
because you posted about me that one time.
Big hearts.
Edith, I love you. But oh, that reminds me, in our Daryl Stans Discord group, like, honestly, people should join. It's so funny. The ladies in there are the most unhinged women you'll ever meet in your life, and they're hilarious.
Well, can I put an invite link in the show notes?
Put an invite link, because we've had discussions ranging from like breakups to necrophilia in penguins to like basic geography. And then we talk about obviously Dromione.
Right.
I did do like a whole kind of history geography lesson for the Americans in my Discord group, because we were comparing, I guess, the differences in our educations between America and New Zealand. And it was really interesting. And then like Australia and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
How we learn history, and it's told to us differently depending on what country you're in. My country is very like, we're not like super patriotic, we're just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, and America's very patriotic. I mean, I love that they're their own biggest fans. I think I could definitely use that kind of self-confidence.
There's nothing like...
if I believed in myself the way Americans believe in America, I would be prime minister of my country by this point. The amount of things I could have achieved is astounding. Like that belief will take you far. It will take you to the moon, Eden.
Literally.
Know? I'll take the politics out. No, you can keep it in. I don't care. That's my opinion.
It's fine with me. You're not saying anything I haven't already thought or actually like spoken out loud on my own. So.
Oh, but they are so funny. Hilarious, hilarious stuff. But oh God, what we're talking about. And everyone's like, oh, you must have had a really good education. I was like, no. I grew up in a village. I grew up in a village down south. And by village, I mean like, yes, we had a house. Like, it's fine. I don't live in huts.
I live in a dirt hut.
I was like, New Zealand is a first world country. All right. We are very progressive. Thank you. We were the first country to give women the right to vote. First country to be nuclear free. First country to allow gay marriage. Thank you. All right. We're progressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did grow up in a village. Oh. Well, you've read my fic. Okay, so you know, but my education.
If you want to know where all that trauma comes from,
I grew up in a village down south. But our education was, I mean, I didn't think it was that good. But I mean, I guess it was, because it's not like we'd be talking about ourselves. There was nothing to do. There's nothing to do in a small town in a village. I was bored shitless. Like I just learned for fun, because what else was I going
to
do?
What else is there to do?
It was either that or meth, and it's like. Yeah. I can't afford meth. I'm 15. So I had to learn. I had to read instead. I could have got pregnant as well.
Yeah,
that was like my third option. But I was like, I can't even look after myself. I couldn't look after a child. So I didn't do that. So I just learned about stuff. I'd say I learned as much about American history. I learned a lot about Cambodian history, Burma and South Africa and like all these other like random countries. Well, I say random, but they're not, obviously.
Countries that aren't your own.
Yeah. I mean, America's a random country to me.
Right.
Random country.
It is.
But I just treated them like the same. And I was just like, oh yeah, they did that. That was really fucked up. And they did that. That was really fucked up. And then I slowly figured out, I was like, wow, the world is really fucked up. It's not just my village. It's actually everywhere. And I was like, okay, well, that's very depressing. Maybe I should get that meth I talked about. But
or
I
maybe
didn't.
I should take it all. Start writing some Dromione fan fiction about it.
Well, that's the thing. Fan fiction became my crack. Became my meth. Yes. So that's what I'm on now.
And we're all just dealing crack now.
Yeah. Oh, but it's hilarious. The women in there are just, I won't name them. You know who you are. You know who you are.
you're
listening. Oh, we got the topic of bath salts for whatever reason.
Like, the drug bath salts or like the actual?
Yes.
Okay.
So we were talking about bath salt. Like I said, the conversation just differs widely. It's like, yeah, my father never loved me. Bath salts. And she's like, I want to do bath salts. And we're like,
no, you don't.
Don't do bath salts. Bro, you just tried alcohol for the first time 2 weeks ago. You can't just jump straight to bath salt. What are you doing? That was so hilarious. Because obviously, like, she was fucking with us, but we were just like...
Yeah, I know, but still, what?
Don't do bath salts. Why would you start with bath salts? Just smoke some weed, like have more Xanax. Alcohol. Fucking hell. Smoke a cigarette, all right? Don't do bath salts.
She's like, you know what I'm going to do? PCP.
I was just like, girl.
Thanks, guys.
Yes. Yeah, she's
what
just
the
like...
fuck?
Oh...
For first of all, no, stop.
Yeah, it's just funny. And
you should she should read Happy Pills. Just be like, here, read this.
I was like, read this, and this is why you shouldn't do.
Don't do kids high levels don't of drugs. Do drugs.
Exactly. I'm not good at using Discord, and I kind of pop in and out. So I'll just be like, pop in, and then I'll say something, and then I'll just disappear for a week. But I'm always watching. I am always watching. There's a theories thing, and they post their theories, and I'm always just like,
and you're like, whoa, let's see what they have to say.
What have you written? And then they'll be like, is MKMG here? And then I'll just comment a gif of like a man popping out from behind a tree. So I am there. I am everywhere. Yeah. All the time.
She is the watcher.
I know. I really need a boyfriend. Like, this is really sad, isn't it?
Well, I mean, finish the fic.
Yeah, that exactly
then
though.
Then go get a boyfriend.
Like, I've been putting off getting a boyfriend for 3 years.
Right? Well, they're nothing but trouble.
Because, well, it's also like, what are you going to do for me? And I couldn't think of anything that they could do.
You're not in competition with any other men. You're in competition with me.
Yeah, facts.
Like,
and also,
can you treat me better than I can treat myself? Yes. Okay,
no, they can't.
I have to talk. But if it's a no, then we're fucked off.
To be fair, one of the main benefits of having boyfriends in the past for me was that they had a car and they could drive because I didn't have my license. And I have my license now and I have a car. So driving scary. Mm.
No.
So I really don't need one because like
you have Draco.
How are you gonna benefit my life? Yeah. They're just
boyfriend's
so much
Draco
work.
Malfoy. Like, why do you need it, man? Fuck
my
that.
Boyfriend's Daryl.
That's right. I'm sorry that yeah. I have done some Daryl erasure.
He's all I need. He's 3 meters tall. Surely he's packing, right? Oh no, that's gross. Don't say that. He's literally bone. Okay, he's literally a corpse. Like, that's really gross.
God.
I'm hunting around for a cigarette because my vapes, don't vape, guys, but my vapes ran out. And I'm like, yeah, today's the day I'm going to quit. And what's the time? Yeah. It's 11:27 a.m. I've gone the whole morning. Had enough. Let me outside.
Oh, it's so bright and shiny.
It's summer. Oh, delicious. Delicious and nutritious.
That's breakfast. Breakfast of champions.
And then I complain, oh, I have all these health issues. I don't know why. And it's like, literally, I just vape and photosynthesize and then maybe have like a couple coffees. And then I complain about it.
It is.
It's part
it
of the process, all right? This is my...
You know what you are? You're just a tortured artist. That's what we do.
Oh, my God. Oh my God, thank you. Yes.
Yes. I mean, it's so golden age.
I like how.
It's so golden age.
Exactly. I like how as soon as you put like a pen on paper, suddenly you go from being like just a fucking loser to a tortured artist. Like, that's excellent.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful experience. And you really never actually get it until you start. Like, you can think about it, but until you actually start writing something, you are not a tortured artist.
And it's actually hilarious because my job, right, I'm in a very like stressful job. Well, I'm actually clever. I know that's hard to believe, but I'm actually like, I'm a boss bitch. Like, my work, you know, I'd wear like suits and collared shirts and shit to work, and I'd make decisions and manage a lot of things. And then I come home and I rot in bed and write fan fiction. But
you're just a rot.
Everyone,
girl.
Yeah, I love to rot. Oh, so good. But everyone at my job knows. Like, I think in my interview, I was like, yeah, I write dramatic fan fiction because I don't care. Like, I was bullied heaps as a kid. Like, what, you're going to bully me about fan fiction? Okay. At least it's not my face.
Right. It's not my physical appearance or
my personality or like
something I can't control.
Fanfic's cool. Either people are gonna think I'm weird, which is very accurate, or they're just gonna think it's cool, which is also so accurate. It's fine, right?
I mean, that's the whole reason this podcast exists now, because I'm like, this shit is cool. Like, more people need to know about it, and not just reading it, like about the people that are writing it. Like, we are all so fucking different. And
yeah, and I love your episodes because it does really show that variety of people talking about themselves and their fic and their writing process. And it's just it becomes very apparent that there's no real rule book. Everyone's just kind of mudding their way through, which is comforting.
Right. I mean, I love just talking to people and getting like everybody's different perspective, but everybody writes so differently.
Yeah.
I was talking to, you know, somebody that writes comedy and fluff, and they're like, I can't write dark to save my life. And then, you know, and then we've got you is like, hey, guess what? I want to write the worst shit you've ever read, but it's the greatest thing you've ever read. And we love it.
I do have a fic that I'm not really like properly writing it because I'm focused on Goblet of Shadows at the moment, but it's basically, it's just comedy. And the first line of it, the opening line is, Harry Potter was on ketamine. So that really sets the tone of the fic. Yeah.
Count me in.
It's hilarious. It's just going to be what I'd call a crack fit.
Is it posted or are you still just working it?
No, it's not posted yet. Okay. This is exclusive.
You heard it here first. fellas, guys, ladies.
But it's a good fic to go to. Yeah, sometimes I make myself so depressed writing the bullshitters. I'm like, oh my God, this is really hard. And so sometimes I just want to write about really lighthearted, you know, stupid stuff. So that's what you got to find a balance, you know? I saw a TikTok of a fic. I haven't read it yet, but I want to. Basically, it was like POV and Draco Malfoy was Polyjuiced as Hermione and he was marrying Ron, and like Blaise and Theo were cracking up because he was like, he was marrying Ron, like he had to marry Ron for whatever reason. And I was like, I don't know the context, but that is, I was like, that's so fucking funny.
That's the most random shit. You're like, what were you on?
Yeah.
And I was like, the beginning of line of that fic is Harry Potter was on ketamine.
How about I read the first paragraph? Everyone's so unhinged in it because, you know, Harry's not in Goblet of Shadows. And
no,
I,
he's not. He's dead.
Well, I mean, he kind of is. So. What did I write?
I'm going to get the first paragraph of this. What are we calling it? Do we have a name yet?
No. It's called ketamine. Okay. But it's not even about ketamine, guys. No. Like, that's just the opening line. All right. Audiobook. Here we go. Harry Potter was on ketamine. Hermione had assumed that the boy who lived, then died, then lived again, would be taking better care of himself after having a miraculous do-over. And she supposed she would have been right if she had taken into account the fact that Harry Potter, on 11 shots of fire whiskey, no less, seemed to equate drunkenness with invincibility. As he threw himself off the staircase at Grimmauld Place, attempting to take flight on an ordinary kitchen mop, she realised that, in that moment, he truly believed himself to be the most powerful wizard to have ever lived. I am the most powerful wizard to have ever lived! Harry bellowed as he flung himself over the railing. With seeker-like reflexes, Hermione casted a cushioning charm, saving Harry from the title of the boy who lived, then died again, and allowing him to bounce harmlessly on his side. He toppled over, face planting the mop head and emitting a strangled groan. Hermione sighed and began to march over to collect the hopeless wizard when she was pushed aside by a frantic and astronomically high Theodore Knott. Harry, no! He wailed, collapsing onto his knees and cradling the completely unharmed Harry Potter. With an unnecessary amount of tenderness, Theo gently brushed aside the mop strands to reveal Harry's gaze of awe. Harry! Theo cried. Harry, are you okay? Harry stared up at Theo with saucer eyes. Not? He whispered. You're not? Theo gasped, frantically searching for Harry for any sign of injury. No, you're not, Harry replied. Theo stopped his search to grab Harry's face by his cheeks, pulling him towards him so their noses were touching. Not what? He asked in fear. Partygoers parted around the two men embracing a mop on the floor, completely dismissing the dramatic display. When Harry first introduced Theo to his friends 2 years ago, they were apprehensive at first. With an imprisoned Death Eater father and absurdly long criminal record, they worried that Theo might be a bad influence on Harry. He was. The unprompted bag of ketamine he had brought to what was supposed to be a quiet Ministry ball pre-drinks was proof of that. However, it was hard to ignore the borderline homoerotic friendship that had quickly rendered the two inseparable. Neville, Luna, Ginny and herself had easily adopted the eccentric Slytherin, mainly because, despite his deeply disruptive personality, everyone found him absurdly likable. Everyone except Ron, who seemed to be trying to light Theo on fire with the sheer force of his glare from across the room. So there's like a little brief bit.
That is amazing.
Just stupid.
Yeah, coming soon.
I can write more than just dark stuff.
I mean, yeah, you have to exist on both sides.
No, otherwise it's just...
Oh, it's too sad. It's too sad.
It's too sad. It's so sad. So that's a bit of me.
We love it. So where can the people find you on the social medias?
I'm on TikTok as MKMG02. MKMG was taken. I'm like, who the fuck took that?
Right? Rude.
Anyway, so I'm number two. Then I got Twitter. I think I'm just MK. Like, you can just search MKMG.
Yeah.
Same. My Tumblr is MKMG, right? And my Reddit is Noodle Creature. I don't know why that one was different. Like, that one was different.
Well, all Reddit names are weird. Like, Reddit names are like weird amalgamations. Like, you don't even get to pick it, really. It shuffles it.
Exactly.
The Discord server.
And the Discord. Daryl Stans. There's lots of Daryl fun Stans. Things there.
Yes, and I'll put a link to all of these lovely social media accounts. I am so excited for the next chapter drop coming. Go read some goddamn Hermione.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes,
this was so much fun.
Bye.
All right, kakite.